Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, back and better than ever. Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Urgency is at an all-time high. So much so that I have decided, as of this morning, to take matters into my own hands. I will explain, plus QB carousel, NBA in the stretch run, sprint to the finish, a coach snapped after a game. And again, I think I've bitten off more than the staff thinks I can chew. It's a Friday. Let's go.
Here we go. Go, go.
Only one place to start.
Listen, desperate times cause desperate situation. They cause desperate reaction. They cause people sometimes to do things that they don't necessarily want to do, and they're not even 100% sure they can. But the time has come for every one of us to step up and do whatever he or she is capable of to make important things happen. So our one place to start this morning, and for this I bring in the assembled members of the hashtag crew. Bubba's with us today. Cam is with us today. Brandon, my stage manager, is here as well. This morning on Get Up, Bubba, I made the following declaration. I woke up this morning thinking I need to try and do something to make my dream come true. And so I am today wearing a green jacket, a green sport coat, not like the Masters jacket, but just a regular green sport coat in hope that somehow that would bring to reality my dream, Bubba, of the Jets acquiring Aaron Rodgers. But it was during the show that we just finished, particularly when talking with Ryan Clark, that I realized I'm not going far enough. I'm not doing everything I can to put into the universe the vibes that are necessary in order for a move of that magnitude to take place. And so what I have declared this morning is that if we get Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers comes and plays for the New York Jets, no matter what the season is, I will do the darkness retreat. I will go to Oregon, if indeed that is the only place one does these things. I know it's where he went. We could do a little research and see if there is another place where this takes place. But I will do that thing, 3 days, dark, sensory deprivation, whatever it is. I've told you already, I'm kind of fascinated by it. Why not? That is all about putting vibes into the universe. I'm putting mine out there. Bubba, I will do the darkness retreat if the Jets get Aaron Rodgers. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I still don't know if I believe that you'll do it, because I just don't think you'll enjoy it at all, and I just don't think you can handle it. So I think what you need to be doing, and that what a true, true Jets fan should be saying, if they really wanted Aaron Rodgers, is not, I'll do it if he comes, is you should be doing it in order to get him. That's what you should be saying on the air now. You should be telling all the listeners on Get Up and on hashtag Greeny, hey, Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to go to the darkness retreat before the season, before you go to the Jets. Show him that you are willing to do this so that he signs with the Jets.
See,
it now.
Yeah.
Man up and do it now. Don't wait so that when he goes there, because once he's on the Jets, what do you need to do it for? You'll just back out then.
No, I will not.
Do it now.
I will not back out. Here's what I will say. I did think of that. And I actually did some investigation into whether or not I could do that as soon as starting yesterday. But here's what I learned. I reached out to the actual place. Now, there may be other places that this is done. I don't know. I haven't done that much research.
Well, you want to go to the best.
Well, it's the only one of which I know. So the place that Rodgers went is in Oregon. I went on their website. I filled out the information, and I have been in correspondence.
All right.
They are currently full. They are booked up solid through November of 2024. However, the guy did say he thinks he might be able to get me in sometime over the summer, which actually works well for me because, A, it's before the season. B, it is a time when I can do that. Right now, we're in a very busy little stretch. I've got NBA basically every day. And we're going to be here Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the NBA next Wednesday. We got the NFL trade deadline coming up. We got the NFL draft, which I'm hosting, is rapidly approaching. And all the other things. March Madness started baseball. This is not a time for me to go spend, because you don't just go spend 3 days in the dark. You have, the way they had recommended, at least, is you have like a day of acclimation before,
right,
and a day of acclimation
end, yeah,
after, and all of this stuff. So I need pretty much a week solid to make this work, and that's not going to be so easy for me to find in my schedule anyway.
Plus, I think you're going to need at least a week or two on the back end, because you're going to need to check yourself into a hospital, because you're going to be going insane. You're going to probably need to go to a psych ward, because you're not going to be able to handle this well.
I disagree with you completely.
You're going to be losing your mind, and you're going to be insane.
Cam, what are your thoughts on my, first of all, Cam, I'm delighted to see that since last we were together,
you have shaved
the mustache. Yes.
You
look much better.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'd like to point out that, Greeny, you did offer to do the darkness retreat with Aaron Rodgers a couple weeks ago.
I would have.
So, Bubba, I think you've already made the claim that Bubba wanted you to make. I know this might go against the fabric of the darkness retreat, but I think we'd have some great radio shows if you were able to do it from Oregon. Take 2 hour break from the darkness retreat just to give us some updates.
But you can't take a 2 hour break. That's not on the list of things you can do during a darkness retreat. Now, one of the things they do seem to have, although I didn't inquire about it and I don't know how it works, is you can do it with two people. Like, you can have a couple's darkness retreat. So here's what I'll say. Aaron, if you feel like doing it again, I will do it with him. I mean, that wouldn't be my first choice, but I do want him to come to the Jets badly enough that if it would put this thing over the top and he wanted to spend 3 uninterrupted days in sheer and utter darkness with me, I would do it. But I'm just guessing that A, because he already did it, his choice is to do it solo, and B, that if he were going to do it as part of a tandem, I wouldn't be high on the list of people he would go do it with, considering the fact that we barely know each other. I spent one evening with him one time, not in the darkness or anything like that. We did an event together one time at Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut, but that's neither here nor there for the purposes of this discussion. So the point I'm trying to make here is, Bubba, I hear what you're saying. I would like to try and do it in advance, but I am hoping that by giving my solemn oath,
right,
that I will do this in the event that he comes, I will be putting the appropriate vibe out there in the universe. Let me also explain to you why there isn't time for that anyway. Mm-hmm. You are listening, by the way, to Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Here's the deal, Bubs. This is going to happen much sooner than everybody realizes. There are two deadlines that are not artificial, that are coming up, that are very, very real. People think, well, we have till March 15th. No, we do not. And by we, I mean everyone who is paying attention to the Aaron Rodgers story. There are two deadlines. One is the obvious one, which is next Tuesday at 4 o'clock Eastern time is the deadline for teams to apply franchise tags. And the entire quarterback carousel is going to be impacted significantly by that, most notably because of what happens with Lamar Jackson, whatever that is. But there's also Daniel Jones, there's Geno Smith, and anything else. So those three quarterbacks, at least, there is major question as to whether they wind up getting franchised. And that will have a significant impact on all of this. It will also have an impact on Derek Carr. And so most of the people I've talked to think Carr would like to have his situation resolved by then. Because if all of a sudden Lamar Jackson is very much on the market, then that's two guys that everyone would rather have than Derek Carr. So there's that. That's the obvious one. The not so obvious one is one I didn't really understand until our pre-show meeting this morning, 6 a.m. before Get Up, we have a meeting. And Mike Tannenbaum explained how all this works. So when you make a trade, let's just use the Jets. The Jets and Packers could agree to a trade. They could do that anytime. That trade cannot become official until we get past March 15th. When that does happen, we are in the new league year and the new salary cap applies. The Jets, for the sake of this discussion, or any team that acquires him, has to have $60 million, roughly, available on their salary cap for at least one day in order for that to work. Now, no team is just sitting there holding $60 million worth of salary cap space just in case they get Aaron Rodgers. You can't do that. No team can do that. So, to use the Jets as the example, they would very likely have to release Corey Davis, C.J. Mosley, Carl Lawson, some combination of those players. Who knows? Maybe others. I don't know. And every team would fall in this category to some degree. Those things are not going to happen, certainly not going to happen in the same time frame if they're not getting Aaron Rodgers. So teams cannot wait until we get to the 15th. They cannot wait for the legal tampering period. This is going to get done very soon. Let's put it this way. I think Rodgers lets the Packers know what he's thinking by the end of this weekend, start of next week at the very latest. And then one of three things happened. A, he retires and there's nothing else to talk about. We start figuring out his place in the pantheon of great quarterbacks historically. B, he tells the Packers he wants to go back and play for them. Then things get really interesting. Or C, which could incorporate actually the previous scenario as well, either Rodgers tells them he wants to move on, or after he has told them he wants to play for them, they tell him they want to move on. If and when those scenarios take place, if he still wants to continue playing, assuming he doesn't say, well, if it's not going to be here, I'll retire, then I think a deal gets done by the end of next week. Lock, for sure. For sure. Maybe faster than that. If you think that all these teams haven't been engaged in all of these conversations with extraordinary detail already, you're out of your mind. They're all in the same place right now. So every team, the Jets, the Panthers, the Raiders, and every other team in the NFL that might be interested, knows exactly what the parameters are of a trade for Aaron Rodgers. And it'll take a little time. The Packers will try and play one team off another. They'll do whatever they can. But at the end, everyone knows that there is a ticking clock here. So I think this thing gets wrapped up by the end of next week. I would be flabbergasted if it is not one way or the other. By the time we are having this conversation, 1 week from today, next Friday, 13 minutes into this radio show, we will know one way or the other what Rodgers' future is. That's what I think. I strongly believe that will be the case. Bubba, you buying it?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, and I'm hoping it happens because I'd like for it to end. So I like the saga to end, and I hope it happens and he goes to the Jets. So
why would you like it to end? This is a fascinating drama that is circling around one of the greatest players of all time. What is it about it that you want to come to an end?
Well, I don't know. I'm over it.
You're over the Rodgers conversation. You're over the possible trade of one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Well, I'm ready for him to go to the Jets, which then I think will start a whole nother conversation, all that to happen. But I just want the thing to happen, the next move to happen.
Well, the next move will happen soon. And again, if it is the one I want it to be, then I have said on the record, as on the record as a person can be, I will do the darkness retreat.
You better.
Come to New York, Aaron.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
I've come to talk with you again because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. The words then don't go on to have anything to do with Aaron Rodgers. I was really hoping as I was doing that, oh, maybe this will actually make all the sense in the world. It actually doesn't. But I will say, Bubba, as a final word to Aaron today,
yep.
The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls. Tenement Halls.
That's what they say.
That's a very New York song. And I really sincerely hope that what he reads in those words of the prophets is to come to the Jets. Nature Valley wants to see you and your family out there. When we share our love for out there, we inspire others to protect it. And that's what getting out there is all about. Nature Valley, life happens out there. Coming up, a player has sounded off bigly on his own team. Don't miss it. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We have a really awesome I'm Sorry What coming your way. Actually, more than one. So we will do that. We have further evidence of my genius. That's on the way here. We have a player sounding off on his own team. And once again, I may be entering the darkness in order to finally see the light. If you're just joining us, the headline is... In order to put the kind of vibes out into the universe that I feel like I need, I have made the following offer to Aaron Rodgers. If he will come sign with the Jets, if he will find a way to get himself to the New York Jets, I will go do the darkness retreat. The one he did in Oregon or something along the exact same lines. Let's make this thing happen.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
All right, so Bruce Pearl went off last night. Bruce is someone I've known forever. If I remember correctly, he made his first run through the NCAA tournament when he was not a very well-known coach at one of the UW schools. I want to say he was at UW-Milwaukee or one of the Wisconsin schools, and they made a run to the Sweet 16. He started coming on Mike and Mike, and of course he went on to have a big career. He's had a lot of success in a lot of places, took Auburn to the Final Four a few years ago. And he seems to have been very unhappy, Bubba, with the whistle last night. Auburn playing Alabama, which, of course, in football is their arch rival. And in this case, Alabama is one of the best teams, and I believe right now the number one team in the country. And when the game is over, Bruce Pearl went over to do his post-game radio interview, and it went a fascinating direction. Just listen to this.
Played well. We played hard. We should have won the game. Very, very disappointing. You know, obviously they made some plays. We had a hard time staying in front of them at the end of the day. I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed! Hardwell's hurt. He's probably not going to play against Tennessee because of his injury. We need his physicality. He got fouled down there at the end of the game.
Coach, just talk about what Saturday represents now.
Oh, just we'll get ready to play Tennessee. We're incredibly outmanned at the end. Had four guys on the bench in foul trouble. Joke!
Okay, so Bruce was upset. Smashed. Like, the way he says smashed is really unbelievable. Let me just play just that part again, because that really comes out of nowhere. You know, the expression that really, what's the word, escalated quickly? Like, that one escalated instantaneously.
Played well. We played hard. We should have won the game. Very, very disappointing. You know, obviously they made some plays. We had a hard time staying in front of them at the end of the day. I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed! Hardwell's hurt.
Bubba, where did that come from? Why is he all of a sudden, he went from 0 to 1,000 in the blink of an eye, right? He's having what sounds like a reasonably normal conversation, and then all of a sudden, he just lost it. What the heck happened there?
I mean, when I first saw this, you know, in the story, it was like, hey, get the Bruce Pearl cut from the other night. And I'm listening to it. And, you know, the first 20 seconds are just normal. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. And then all of a sudden he loses his mind. And I love the ending, too, when he just throws this out there.
Joke!
I'm told, by the way, that was Wednesday night, not last night. But the interesting part of it remains relevant unto itself. Bruce Pearl frustrated and not afraid to let anyone know that. I did ask Bubba, because we had that, because I always enjoy hearing these, and I think the audience does as well, just hearing some of the legendary rants that we have in sports history. In fact, from what I can tell here, these are all coaches. This is Bubba. I'm seeing the ones on my screen. These are all coaches' rants. They are the stuff of legend. Dennis Green.
The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown them. But they are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Danny Green. I loved him. We miss him. Jim Mora.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
And Mike Gundy.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. And then say that the coaches said he was scared? That ain't true!
Oh, that's a great one. That's got to be right up there with the best ones, right? I mean, in the annals of legendary coaching rants, certainly the underground most famous one is Lee Elia. So Lee Elia, manager of the Cubs, I believe it was the late, great, old friend of mine, Les Grobstein, in Chicago, who actually was the radio reporter who had a microphone in front of Lee Elia at Wrigley Field in the 70s. I want to say this was the 70s. Was it the 70s or early 80s? It was before my time there, either way. And when Lee Elia had what I think is, amongst those who know, the most legendary rant of all time.
We're mired now and in a little difficulty. We got all these so-called fans that come out here and say they're Cub fans that are supposed to be behind you, ripping every thing you do. I'll tell you one thing. I hope we get hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 people that show up every day. Because if they're the real Chicago fans, they can kiss my right downtown and print it.
See, that is, Bubba, that is the stuff
of legend. There's so many beeps in there.
That is the legendary, I think, of all the coaching. I have to go with that at number one. Don't you? Is that number one?
It's hard to argue, yeah. I mean, because it was great. Yeah, that's everything you want it to be.
So you told me that there were a few more on page one. So let me go over to page one and see what else is up here there are some of these that I don't remember. Like Larry Bird. Oh, Rick Pitino.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door. He's not walking through that door, fans. I love that one. This one is legend. Wait a minute. Mike Singletary. I'm not sure what could possibly be better than Mike Singletary.
I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
God, that, you know what? So now that's, I'm having a tough time deciding if that's not number one. He threw a player. It was Vernon Davis, a very good tight end.
Yep. Crazy.
He threw him off the sideline, threw him out of the game. The coach threw his own player out of the game, and then afterwards said he'd rather play with 10 guys than have him on the field. I actually think that has to be number one. Bubs? Are you looking for another one there? I'm trying to read your body language.
He wants more swear words, I think.
I don't know. Well, the fact that Singletary did it without swearing,
yeah,
though, is
he doesn't impressive. Swear.
Yeah.
Mike Singletary, I covered him as a player. Exactly, he's a Christian. He does not swear. You don't have to worry about that with him. Or Herman. Right. You don't have to worry about that with Herman.
And so that
either.
Might make it more impressive.
I know. I agree. You know, there's a lesson in that to everyone, that when you say it without the language, it actually carries more weight. Like, that is a stronger, like Lee Elia.
I agree, yeah. Let's
even live in a world where you don't have to bleep it, if we're just listening to that amongst friends. At some point, when you just keep using profanity over and over and over again, it all starts to kind of meld together in your mind. Like, okay, we get it. With Mike Singletary, I never lose interest. I never for one second am done with that soundbite. I wish it was longer. It's the only one that I wish went on, as opposed to, I'm glad this is done now. We've had enough.
Yeah, but he had great content there.
Yeah. I'm not sure Gundy cursed either. Anyway, those are good. So we liked the Bruce Pearl one. But when we do, I'm sorry, what? Sometimes they are nonverbal. Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance from Progressive. Get a fast quote at progressivecommercial.com. Did you see what Rashad Bateman tweeted yesterday? Now, he took it down, but a tweet is forever. I need to set this up for you. So all this surrounds Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, something's going to happen with him by next Tuesday. And that will reshape the future of several teams in the NFL, most notably the Baltimore Ravens. And the Ravens have had a very frustrating couple of years with injuries and many other things. But the knock on them forever has been that they haven't put great receivers around Lamar. So Eric DaCosta was asked about that. He was the general manager the other day at the Combine. And amazingly, he said this.
If I had an answer, that means I would probably have some better receivers, I guess. We keep trying.
And he went on from there. But just saying that alone was startling. And my first thought was, boy, I wonder how the active Ravens receivers are going to take that. But I didn't have to wonder that long, because Rashad Bateman answered that by tweeting, quote, "How about you play to your player's strength and stop pointing the finger at us and number eight? Blame the one you let do this. We take heat 24/7 and keep us healthy. Care about us and see what happens. Ain't no promises, though. Tired of y'all lying and capping on players for no reason." That's pretty strong. Again, he took it down, but once it's up, it's out forever. And I think what's really important about this, Cam, is that I do not think Rashad Bateman is speaking solely for himself. I think he is voicing frustration that many members of that Ravens offense have long felt. And I think he is also speaking on behalf, to at least some degree, or in defense of Lamar Jackson. And I think that is emblematic of the fact that whatever it is the organization thinks of Lamar, I think his teammates have his back. I think he is beloved and believed in that locker room. And I think that how that weighs into what they ultimately do, I don't know. But I think it's a very interesting and important part of the Lamar Jackson story. Cam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And I think the frustration has just, you know, Rashad Bateman's only been there 2 years, but I assume for Lamar, the frustration has just been building every single year. You know, 3-4 years ago, he won the MVP and the offense has gotten worse around him almost every single year since then. So Rashad Bateman comes onto the scene a couple of years ago, immediately is, you know, getting thrown under the bus by his GM. I don't blame him for speaking for probably other players that are annoyed in that locker room that they haven't been better. They should be.
And the reality is, if you want to say, well, he shouldn't be tweeting about the organization, he's taking a shot. You know, it was his general manager who drew for his blood. I mean, DaCosta, I'm not a big fan of, well, he started it, but in this case, DaCosta started it. He has to know he can't say that. You can't say, well, if I'd known what I was doing, whatever it is he's trying to say, we'd probably have some better receivers. The reality is that is sure to get people highly offended. If they came to the people who ran ESPN and said, you know, how do you feel about your network right now? And the network and the boss said, well, we'd be doing a lot better if we had better hosts in the morning. I would take that some kind of way. So when the person who was responsible for assembling the talent says, you know, we don't have enough talent. If you're the talent, it's kind of hard to expect you not to react pretty strongly. Bobby, give me a final word on this.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't believe I go back to just what DaCosta said. You know, it's coming off the rant segment we played, that just sounds like it's almost like a cut you would hear in a rant. Like,
right.
That him saying that is like, that'd be like an all-time, a coach or someone playing that in a rant. I wish we had better receivers.
Yeah, it was like
I wish we had player, you know, whatever. But no, it's just a GM just randomly talking about his players, like casually just saying, well, I wish we had better receivers. Like, it's just insane that he just said that about his own team. And I certainly am not surprised that Bateman was as upset as he was.
It's also a weird thing, Cam. He's saying that about the players he brought in.
Like, yes.
It's not like he just got there.
You can control that.
And he goes on to say, like, you know, we're going to keep swinging and eventually we're going to hit one of these. So, like, he expounded upon the fact that he has not been happy with the receivers that they drafted, which pisses off Lamar Jackson and the receivers he's about to draft.
I'm not sure that his saying we're going to keep swinging should be interpreted as a promise or a threat. NBA action tomorrow night. Bucks Sixers presented by Indeed. Coverage 8 Eastern on most of these ESPN radio stations.
I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
It's my favorite. That's the best. Samurai Mike, number one for Mike Singletary and the greatest rant of all time. Coming up next, absolute proof of my genius, which again will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. Don't miss it after a word from AutoZone. Are you dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, or if you're in need of a fresh charge. If you need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They've got reliable replacements starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution, and America's number one battery destination. We are back in a flash on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio as we roll along. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Sixers, Bucks tomorrow, Warriors, Lakers Sunday on ABC and ESPN Radio. Who's going to be in the zone? Be interesting to see if it's Embiid. Interesting to see if it's any of the Warriors who have been playing a lot better lately, Klay Thompson and company. Who will be in the zone? The zone brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Big weekend of hoops as they go down the stretch run. Before I explain to you certifiable proof of my genius, let me very quickly make mention of something that I'm extremely excited about. So when I first told you that we had done a limited run of autographed books for pre-order, so Hembo and I have a book coming out called Got Your Number. It will be available everywhere on April 4th. And the interest in it has been just sensational. I can't tell you how excited I am. It's my first ever sports book. And we put a very limited number of them available for pre-order as autographed copies. And they went through them in a day, literally in one day. So I have been begging the publisher to let us do more for pre-order, and they have done so. So right now, if you go to the top of my Twitter page, and this is a limited number of books that are available, and I don't know that we'll have more. Maybe we will, but I don't think we'll have more before the book comes out. So go to my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny, and you will see a link. It is pinned to the top of my page, at ESPN Greeny on Twitter, and you can order there the autographed copies. These are signed by me and Hembo, and they are a very limited number. So if you want to do it, we are so grateful. Do it immediately, because they're going to go fast, and at that point I may not be able to get any more done that quickly. So they're available there again on Twitter, at ESPN Greeny, pinned to the top of the page. You can click on the link, and we thank you, as always, for the support. Now, next order of business. Mine is that sort of rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after its time.
A genius, you said?
You're a genius.
He's a genius, eh?
We're not going to appreciate your brilliance until you're gone.
Brilliant.
All right, Bubba, you've been with me a long time. And what has been a staple of my shows going back to Mike and Mike, and now this show, dating back years and years and years, on the Tuesday that follows Super Bowl Sunday. You've got the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Right.
You've got all the coverage the following day, which is generally about the game itself, and then a little touching on the commercials, a little touching on the halftime.
Yep.
And then what do I come on every Tuesday and say?
That the numbers that we receive for the Super Bowl are undercounted and inaccurate.
That there's no way in the world as few people as they are telling us watched the Super Bowl. No way.
Right.
They try and give us numbers like 112 million or something.
One third, they're saying, watched it. Two thirds didn't, I believe, was this year.
That's what it would be.
Yeah.
It would be roughly two thirds of America did not watch the Super Bowl. And I have been saying for years, there's no way that's true. And do you know what happened? Oh, I got made fun of. I got just made fun of, mocked, senselessly and meanly mocked by people saying, oh, Greeny, you overstated. There are so many people who don't watch the Super Bowl. No, there aren't. And I was right. Listen to this. A new survey from Nielsen, commissioned by the NFL, suggests that the official game viewership, rather than the audience of 113 million people, was actually markedly larger than that. The survey found the average per minute audience was about 136 million people, and that approximately 200 million people, or roughly 60% of the entire U.S. population, tuned in for at least some of the Super Bowl. I demand apologies. I'm calling everybody out. Whoever it is that told me that I was overstating, oh, Greeny, you live in a sports-centric bubble and everyone, no, they don't. Everyone doesn't not watch the Super Bowl. It turns out the number is more like 60%, not 33%. So where are all those people who mocked me now? I told you, 200 million people out of what, 330 that we have in this country, Bubba? So that's 130 million people. How many of those are infants? I got to be like around 100 million. So I mean, that you take those out of the equation, right? There's got to be 100 million people who are under the age of one. No, probably not. Maybe much less than that. That was meant to be funny. Brandon didn't even crack a smile. Tough room I'm working. Either way, the point that I'm trying to make here is 60% of Americans watched the Super Bowl, Bubba. That's what I've been telling you for years. Were you one of those who was questioning me?
A little bit. You know, I was definitely a little shocked when you look, you know, normally when something like this happens, whether it's like a recount or something like an election, or, you know, they'll redo it. And it's usually like a very small amount. Like, oh, we redid it and there were 10 extra votes or 20 extra this or 200. That's a huge difference that they found. How can they be so wrong? They weren't even close.
I've been telling you they're wrong.
Close that they were right.
Yeah. The average per minute audience went from 113 million to 136 million. So they were 20% off on that.
That's a huge number.
And they estimate that approximately 200 million people watched at least some of the Super Bowl. So once again, like most geniuses, I will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.